Good morning, church. Yeah, that works. Such a blessing to see everyone here today. Such a blessing to be just gathered, even if it's in a little bit of a unique way. How good it is to see every person and how I miss you all, right? It's a time that is such an unusual time. We miss gathering in this building. We miss gathering in connection with one another. And you know, if you're watching online, we are so grateful for just you tuning in with us and being part of just our church online. And we just welcome you today. We're excited to gather and connect in whatever way we can in the midst of this time. And if you're watching on our Facebook feed or if you have that tuned in, we'd encourage you every week. And it makes a huge difference just to be able to share that, just to be able to maybe if you want to do that, just click share and write Missing Normal and send it out there. It's amazing how much of a difference that makes. Now, some of you are wondering why I have this helmet on. Some of you probably can't see it that far, and my kids are wondering why I have this helmet on. You know, it's good to hear laughter from the cars, right? It's oh, yeah. So, you know, that's what my kids do when I wear this. And, you know, a season back when we decided we were going to see what skateboarding was like, I just made a decision, you know, when my kids are into something, I'm going to try to just engage with that. And sometimes that works out to not be so good. I've had some pretty good injuries along the way. But my wife said, you know what, if you're going to do that, you're going to wear a helmet. Well, recently in this season that we're in, it became something we were trying to figure out some things to do with the kids, some things to get some exercise in. So we started mountain biking, and my wife said, you know what, you're going to have to get a helmet. I said, oh, I've got one. And my kids, they almost cringe when they see this thing because everybody else has cool, like, black, normal-colored helmets that don't look goofy like this. And they're trying to talk me into getting a new helmet because whenever I'm in this thing, it really stands out. Now, one of the things I like to do is wear this in my truck when I'm driving, and that really stands out. Now, some of you are thinking, you know, that's kind of goofy. It's not any worse than the people in the mask by themselves in the car right now. I can't get used to that. And if you're doing that, that's cool. I mean, maybe easier than taking that off. But if you really want to look funny, you can wear this helmet and put on a mask and drive in the car and just look at your neighbor. And I noticed no matter what, you know, I miss some things about this season, like eye contact. When you make eye contact with people, they just kind of look away. It's just a weird time. And most of all, I mean, I think all of us would just say, you know what, if there's anything to describe this time that we're in, it's not normal. So I went on Facebook on Friday and I asked this question. I said, what is it that you're missing most about normal? What is it that you're missing most about normal? And so if you're watching right now, I'd love for you to comment just in the comments and put something on there that you would say I'm missing about normal. Now, looking at some of these comments, there were some common things like church, being able to gather in this building, sports, and then there were all kinds of things listed in the midst of that. There were teachers that were saying, you know what, I am missing my kids. I'm missing gathering around a table where somebody else cooked the food in a restaurant with friends. Somebody put, you know what, I'm missing all the accolades for our seniors. You know, and some of you are graduating, maybe people that are here, and we've got several seniors that are graduating this year. And, you know, when we think about just the disruption to all that, man, it's tough, right? And we're thinking about, you know, people are saying, hey, you know what, I'm missing my grandbabies. I'm missing not being able to support someone who's going through loss, right? It's a crazy time when people have deaths in their families, things happen, and normally we can gather and love on them and be in funeral services and all those kind of things. Not being able to be with people in the hospital. Some of you said, hey, you know, my husband has been in the hospital this past week, and I've not been able to be there with him. Work, community, singing in the choir. People were, you know, saying, hey, I really miss being able to gather in that way. Handshakes. How much, isn't it weird to see somebody and not shake their hand? Smiling people. I figured out yesterday I had to get a couple of things at Ingles, and I didn't notice till I was leaving that they had little signs that were pointing which way to go on the aisles. And so I was just kind of doing my thing, going wherever I go. And when I go down the aisle, I mean, you just grin, right? Because that's what I do. I just grin. And so I'm like, hey, how are you? And people are always looking away. Human touch, messy closets, haircuts. People are saying amen out there. I was talking about this over the weekend, and someone in my house came out and they said, you know what, as soon as this is all over, I'm going straight to the hairdresser. I haven't missed that much, just to be honest. But school, freedom to come and go, game night, normal medical care, taking kids to the park. How much did we take some of those things for granted? Small groups, Sunday school, surgeries that are having to be put off, eye contact, the ability to plan. You know, we'd planned, our family had planned on going on vacation over spring break, and then kind of all that changed. And we miss that ability to be able to plan, to look ahead and say, hey, what's summer going to look like? What's vacation Bible school going to look like? What is our family trip going to look like? How does all that happen? Congregational worship, laughs and meals with people, structure, celebrating birthdays together. And if your parents are out there that may have not been homeschooling before, somebody put sending kids to school. Anybody amen to that, right? Yeah, some of you are saying, hey, that's it. Maybe the gym. I'll tell you one thing that was really common throughout so many places was this just small word that people are missing: hugs. People are missing hugs. So many people said that. Now, there's a few introverts out there that are like, I never missed a hug in my life. But a lot of us, man, we're missing that. I miss that when I come into church and there's little ones that are running up and just putting their arms around me and just expressing affection. I'll tell you, I miss being able to have allergies, right? It's pollen season, and if you cough, man, people are serious about that. I was picking up some food the other night. We'd called in a to-go order somewhere, and I walked in there. I don't know if you ever swallow wrong, and then all of a sudden you get choked up and you think you're going to die right there. Like, will you ever get your breath back? Well, I'm in the moment. I get up to the counter, and I'm like, I'm here to pick up, and I get choked. And I can't even get the words out. And the lady's looking at me, and I'm like, I swallowed wrong. And she's like freaking out in her eyes. And she watched, what's the name? I said, Smith. And I'm kind of choking, you know. And I finally get out of there, and I watch her face, and she's got sanitizer everywhere. Like, she locked the door, wouldn't let the next people. I mean, she is shutting this thing down until she gets rid of the guy with the coronavirus that has come in coughing, right? People are nervous about those kind of things. Yesterday, I saw somebody in a parking lot. They had come out of the building. They had those N95 masks on, and I mean, I get, you know, being protective, all that kind of stuff. But they were literally in the parking lot, had two cans of Lysol. Okay, so they still got their mask on at least, and I'm sure that prevented it. But they'd come out of the store, and they're literally just hosing each other down in the parking lot. That is not normal. We don't expect to see those things. It's hard to get used to looking at someone wearing a mask. All those kind of things. And we miss the simple things. We miss one another. We miss relationships. But in the midst of all those things that we're missing, we got to be careful not to miss the opportunities that come our way. You know, I was thinking, and I don't know if Kim Inslee's here, but I was watching on social media and on Facebook where she launched this Adopt a Senior page, and there's all these seniors in high school that are being loved on, and people are adopting them, and just embracing that. And I was thinking, man, what a blessing to see someone out of our congregation doing those kind of things, that are saying, hey, you know what? This is weird. This is not normal, but we're going to do things that are not normal in the midst of this time, and we're going to make an impact for good. We don't want to miss those opportunities. I think of Stephanie Crabtree in New York City, and she's loving on these people, you know, and just working with people as a nurse that are battling this COVID-19 and FaceTiming them with their family and engaging just in the midst of this difficult time in their lives. And we're excited to, we're gonna do a video kind of thing in together with her that we'll be streaming coming up. So we'll be sending some information on that and just allow her to share a bit of her heart right from just New York and in the midst of all those things. And we don't want to lose opportunity. You know, we've got an opportunity while she's there to send cards. Many of you got an email about that. We've got an opportunity to make a difference, to write some things. We had folks in our church that translated some of the words that we would need to use in Spanish because so much of her folks are working in that direction. But we need to be looking for opportunity. I heard the story of a couple of salesmen, they were sent out to this third world country, this remote developing country. It had began to grow in some ways, and they were sent out to this country to sell shoes. And one called the home office and said, "Hey, I'm coming home because there's nobody here that wears shoes." And the other one called in and said, "Ship product immediately because nobody here has shoes." And we've got to be people that are looking differently in the midst. And I hear all the time people saying, "Hey, you know what? I can't wait for us to get back to," and you can say it in your car, right? Almost to where I can hear you, right? "We can't wait to get back to normal," right? There's an opportunity that we've got in the midst of this time to look for a better definition of what normal is. And so we're going to launch really this part and this thought of a sermon series called Missing Normal. Now, when you think about the word normal, if you're following along in your worship guide, there's some sermon notes there in the app, but normal in Webster's dictionary is just the usual, average, or typical state or condition. That doesn't sound too good, just the usual, average. And when we think about returning to something, I don't know that that's exactly how I'd describe what we want to return to. I was looking at this word, and in the NASB that I preach from, there are two times we see the original language translated as the word normal. And in Exodus 14, 27, we see these words. It says, "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state." The sea returned to its normal state. And in that verse, we see it was at daybreak, and the Egyptians were fleeing right into it, right? We've seen God deliver his people from Egypt. We've seen this incredible deliverance, and these Israelites are delivered out of bondage through this miraculous event, and the Egyptians are in the midst of the sea, and Scripture says that the sea returned to its normal state. I find it interesting, and we're not going to spend time there today, but I find it interesting that these Israelites that were in bondage, that they got out of that, and they were delivered out of that, and it wasn't long that they were saying, "Hey, we'd have been better off to have died in Egypt. Hey, why don't we appoint some leaders and let's go back to what's familiar?" Because in the midst of the moments that they were in, they had gotten weary. The word that's used for normal is a word that is defined as always filled with running water, constant and continual. The second place that we find the word normal used is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and Jesus is in what Scripture says is their synagogue. And there's a man that is there with them, and the Scripture says that he has a withered hand. Now, the Pharisees are there, and Jesus was referring to their synagogue, referring to them, and he says that he had gathered there, and the Pharisees were there, and they were trying to trap Jesus, right? They were trying to make an issue out of the Sabbath. There's this man that's there with a withered hand, and the question that is going through their mind, now they know Jesus, they don't care about this man with the withered hand, and as a matter of fact, they really don't care about the Sabbath. It's become a self-righteous thing for them where they can flaunt and look. It's become, instead of something that would have been a tremendous blessing that God had given for rest, it had become a chore to be able to walk through, to become rules and regulation, and legalistic religion can produce that, and here they are with all these things that were about this day, and they're looking at Jesus, and they know that Jesus has compassion on people, and there's a man there with a withered hand, and they're wondering, they're saying, "Is Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Now, I mean, what was this day all about? It was about replenishing the drain, right? It was about repairing the broken, and so here's a man with a shriveled hand, and to deal with that shriveled hand is really what Sabbath was all about, restoration and renewal. And Jesus has already told them, if you look back earlier in this chapter, and we're not going to spend time there today, but he's already told them that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And now he's fixing to give them a visual illustration. And in verse 13, he says to the man, "Stretch out your hand." and he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. This word for normal is a word that is defined as sound or healthy. It gives this picture between these two verses, one filled, continually flowing, sound and healthy. And we don't know everything about this man. The scripture doesn't tell us but so much about this man with the withered hand. But normal for this man was not what it was when he walked in that day. It was not maybe what he had gotten used to. Maybe he was a man that was born that way. Maybe he was born with a withered hand. Maybe he had an injury, but for him to provide for his family, for him to live, for him to do those kind of things, having his hand, and one of the other Gospels tells us that it was his right hand, and we don't know all those things about it, but maybe he had gotten used to that normal. Maybe he had gotten used to the fact that his hand was withered. We don't know so much, but we know that normal was something very different for this man after he encountered Jesus. I want to encourage you that we might walk through this time and that we might look at normal with a new definition, that we might say, you know what our culture says is normal, what we're talking about that we can't wait to get back to is not really so much of what we listed about what we missed, because those things are beautiful, right? The relationships, the things that are there. But what our culture says about normal is not normal. What our culture says about normal is not normal. And we've been looking all year long, really, at what it looks like to live the life of a Jesus follower. And I want to tell you, a Jesus follower allows Christ to define normal and not culture. It allows Christ. A Jesus follower says, you know what? Normal is not looking at the rest of the world around us. Normal is not what maybe culture might define it. And so what does it look like to live life as normal? What does it look like to live life as a Jesus follower? And I believe God is working in the midst of these moments we're in. The world has pushed pause, right? Somebody told me yesterday, they said, you know what? I believe God has got the entire world's attention in these moments. And we can see that there are things that have changed so much. I can't believe that we're gathering in this way. Who would have even dreamed that this might be the way we would gather on a Sunday morning in this season? But the world has pushed pause. And in the midst of a time where the world has pushed pause, it's my encouragement to every one of us that we might press reset. Because pause says something different. Pause says, you know what, we're going to stop right here. And as soon as this is over, as soon as we can get back to whatever it was, when we're watching a movie and we press pause, we get up and we go to the restroom or we eat dinner or we do whatever those things are, and then we pick right back up where we left off. And yes, we are missing normal. There are so many things that we are missing. But what I believe is that while we are missing normal, we were missing normal all along. We need to press reset and say, you know what, we're going to look different as we move forward. We're going to look for opportunity. See, the normal that most of us and many of us were living before all this began to happen was not the normal that God desires for His people. I remember a couple of years ago, we had a memory verse for Vacation Bible School, and it was in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and I can remember teaching it to these kids in New York City. I can remember being in the midst of a church in New York City, a church where one of the folks that was just an incredible witness for the Lord is in the hospital with the coronavirus right now. Milton is his name. We've asked you to be praying for him. And Milton was a guy that, man, everywhere he went, he's handing out tracts and he's doing all these things. And we're engaging with people of different circumstances and different things. But the truth is that His divine power, in 2 Peter 1, 3, Scripture says His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, or His own glory and power, depending on which translation you read. And the Scripture tells us that He has given us everything, everything that we might need for life and godliness. But the world is offering a different perspective. The world is offering something completely different. The world has offered us everything that promises to fulfill, that promises to satisfy, but what it's done is it's pulled us away from life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through finding our identity in Christ. And we become a slave to this world instead of people that are submitted and surrendered to Christ. See, normal is a life that's filled with worry. Normal is a life where it feels like if we're not in control, then everything is out of control. But Jesus says you don't have to worry, because in the midst of whatever storms, in the midst of whatever things that you may face, that I am in control, that you don't have to be worried about your life, that you can look at the birds and you can look at the lilies, you can look at all these things because you don't have to be afraid. Normal is a life that is overwhelmed, overloaded, exhausted. We're all talking about, hey, I wish I had more time. We all have the same amount. We all have the same amount, and we want more time, but when we figure out how to get it, we spend our life trying to catch up and go and go and go. Time to rest and relax sounds like something you might find on a nursing home brochure. Time to rest and relax sounds like something that you might find in a retirement home. And in the pace of the life that many of us have been living up to this point, families have suffered, health is suffering, we find our priorities all over the place, we find the midst of all these things that the world has promised to fulfill, and we find ourselves empty, we find no joy, we find, you can look at people all over our world that have so many things, actors and people that have wealth untold, things that would say, you know what, if you have all these things, then everything's going to be beautiful, and you're going to have joy, and you're going to have happiness, and what we find is that those things do not bring joy. Families are going crazy. They have no idea what direction to go because their life is spinning out of control. But Jesus says that in the normal follower of Him, that in Him you can find rest. He was healing this man on the Sabbath day, and He said, you know what? He was Lord of the Sabbath. Legalistic religion, some of you may have come out of a background where if you didn't do this or this or this, that you're in a mess, that you are not worthy, or that all these kind of things, that you're condemned in all these different perspectives that said you've got to perform all these works, you've got to do all these things. But Jesus says that you can find rest in Him, that you can be still and know that He is God. Jesus says in Matthew 11, that same chapter, Jesus says, He says, come to me, all you who are weary. Man, I love that passage, right? Just before we get in to chapter 12, Jesus is talking about the same very things that He is going to be giving them a demonstration of as He heals on the Sabbath. He says, come to me, all of you who are under the yoke and bondage of all this, all of you who all this has weighed down. And He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, normal in our lives are families that barely cross paths with one another, that marriages that only have time to be roommates and who are looking to one another to say, you know what, this is how my needs are fulfilled. And when you don't meet those needs, then there's somebody else. The grass will be greener somewhere else, and there's another way that those needs can be met. And in the midst of this craziness, divorce is at an all-time high. The numbers of people that are saying, you know what, I've looked at marriage and it doesn't look that attractive. And so the definition of that has been challenged by our culture, and people are saying, you know what, I'm going to cohabitate rather than go in to that direction. Normal families race to and fro. Leisure and sports have become idols for people, that they say, you know what, this is what's important in our life. And the way that you define those things are by what you're giving your life to. Many of you would say, you know what, the normal life of a Jesus follower in our country, in this culture that we live in, is somebody that says, you know what, yes, I go to church two or three times a month, and yes, I'm involved in certain activities, and yes, I have my name written on my Facebook page that says Christian, but the reality is that my life is not much different on the rest of the week, that there's no change that's resulted from my conversion, that there's nothing different about my life. Jesus says that His followers will seek Him first, that He'll be a priority in their life, and everything will live as an overflow. As that happens, families find their fulfillment not in another spouse that says, this person's been designed to meet all of my needs, but they find their fulfillment and their identity in Christ. Single people that are waiting for a time that they maybe long to have a spouse say, you know what, it is not the end all that I have a spouse. That's not what's going to complete me. What completes me is Christ, and I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to use the most of my time and the most of the things that I have. And if God chooses to allow somebody to come into my life as I'm running alongside serving Him, then so be it. But if not, my identity is not wrapped up in those things. students, young people, and as you think about your life, there's so much value put in the way that you look, the clothes that you wear, the songs that you listen to, the phone that you have, all of these things, and much of your life you're trying to fit a part by looking a certain way and dressing a certain way and conforming a certain way. But Christ calls us to a normal that is not different. He calls us to see, we so many times compromise our integrity for popularity rather than conforming our lives to the image of Christ. Our identity is in Christ, not in the things of this world, not in the circumstances of this moment. See, the normal that Christ calls us to, the normal that we find in Scripture in the life of a Jesus follower is not normal. The teachings of Jesus are not normal. They are radically different from this world. And I'm encouraging you, church, not to walk back into the midst of a normal that doesn't look like Jesus, a normal that Jesus has called us to live different, to pursue holiness, to find rest and peace even in the midst of the storm, for joy to come from a relationship with Him, that we might live dependent on who He is through the knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and power. Jesus' teachings are so different. He says things like, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those that persecute you. Normal says, you know what, life is all about me. That's what our culture says, that it's all about me. And when everything is about me, when something changes that is about me, then everything falls out from the bottom. But Jesus says, you know what, that's not the normal life. The normal life of a Jesus follower is a people who will deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Him. See, we may be missing normal, but I'm afraid that normal was missing it all along. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What does it profit a man? He says, you can have all of these things, but our pursuit needs to be changed. Our desire needs to be changed to a place that we say, you know what, I want Jesus to define my normal. So my encouragement is that we would press reset and not pause. You know, the helmet that I wore, the thing that, just kind of my little goofy illustration at the beginning, it's not normal. You will not find another one. I found it on clearance for $5, and I was so happy to get it because it actually fit my big head. And I said, man, this is perfect, right? I walk in, I'm looking for this thing, and they're like, oh, we have one, and it happens to be on clearance, and I wonder why. Right, it sat there for the last 10 years, right? But it's not normal, and it stands out, and it looks different, and sometimes it can be embarrassing, and people can look at you. But I want you to know that we are not called to conform to the image of this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through a relationship with Jesus. The life of a Jesus follower is anything but normal. Church, don't settle for a life that's normal. Young people, don't settle for the normal life. Don't settle for those kind of things. Grieve what's missing in these moments. Look back and say, you know what, I miss those things. There's nothing wrong with that, but we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and keep pressing on. God is working all things together, Scripture says, for our good and His glory. Back to the man with the withered hand, verse 13, he says this, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and it was restored to normal. This man couldn't do it on his own. This man had no ability, right? His hand was withered. And I can assure you, if he could have done anything in that moment, if he could have fixed that in his own power, it would have been fixed long before. But the truth is that that man could do nothing to fix it on his own. The second piece of it is this man, his hand was not useful on its own. It couldn't function in the way that hand was designed to function. He couldn't fix it on his own, and his hand was not useful on its own. But I want you to know, when this man obeyed the command of Jesus and he said, you know what, I can't do it on my own, and I know that I'm broken, I know that I need this help. This man may have never lifted his arm before. Some of you are saying, you know what, I don't think I can get out of the craziness of this life. I don't know how I would get out from the place that I'm in. But I believe Jesus is calling out to his people in the midst of this time, and he's just saying, you know what, stretch forth your hand. Listen, respond in faith in the midst of this moment, not saying that the things that are around us and the circumstances of this life, just recognizing, hey, I can't walk through this in my own strength. I can't get through this in my own power, but I'm going to build my life on Him. Everything required for life and godliness, everything that God has called us to, He has given us in Christ. If you've never trusted Christ, if you've never repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ, this man was incapable in his own strength to be healed. But I want you to understand something. He knew his hand was withered. He knew that there was something missing. He knew that he was broken in the midst of this moment. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I know. Maybe you say, you know what, I know I'm a Jesus follower, but truth is, my life, my priorities, everything was broken in the midst of the moments before this. Everything was out of control. Everything was really more focused on things of this world than on Christ. Maybe you'd say, you know what, I don't know how to fix it. But maybe this morning you'd just stretch out your withered hand. Just say, you know what, I surrender. I don't know what to do with this, Jesus, but I know you are able. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've never trusted Jesus for salvation. There's never been a time in my life that I've repented of my sin and placed my faith in the finished work of the cross. I've never responded to his call. You know, in this passage, this man was willing to respond to the call of Jesus, and he stretched out his hand, and it was made whole, healthy, normal. The world says, you know what, you do all these things and somehow you'll earn a relationship with Christ. You do all these things and you can be saved. The world says, hey, hopefully my good will outweigh my bad. But Jesus says you are in such a mess. He says that the best of your righteousness, that anything that you might do in your own strength is filthy rags in the sight of him. You know, we sung that song, you are holy. There's none like you, right? When we are in the presence and when we compare ourselves to the presence of a holy and perfect God, and we are worse off than we think. We are more broken than we can imagine, and we are in more need of help. Our lives and everything that we bring in our own strength is withered and unuseful. But I want you to know something. Jesus takes, as we've read in the scriptures these past few weeks, as we've been walking through that, he takes broken pots, right? He gives us a treasure, right, that he places in these earthen vessels, in these broken, messed up things. And in the power of Christ, we are restored. See, in the midst of a time where we realize, and if we really look at our lives, if you are apart from Christ, you are worse off than you can imagine. You are worse off than you even might think. There is no hope of your good outweighing your bad. But I've got good news for you. You are more loved than you could ever imagine. Jesus said that he God sent his son, right, Jesus, so that all of us might be restored into relationship with him. Jesus came. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. Scripture says that God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, even though we were broken and sinful, that Christ died for us. And in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of a life that is unable to restore itself, there's no way that we could make ourselves healed, that we could make ourselves whole, that we could restore in us what is broken. And without Christ, there's no way that we could be useful for his kingdom. But he takes the brokenness of just these earthen vessels that we're in, and he fills them with treasure. He restores and works and does beautiful things through the power of his Spirit in us, not through our own strength, but through his. And he calls out to people and he says, you know what, if you can see your brokenness, if God speaks out to you and he calls out and says, come here, let me see that withered hand. Stretch forth that withered heart. Stretch forth the brokenness in your life and exchange it for the glory of a relationship with Jesus, for the gift of his Spirit that transforms from the inside out. And maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I've never trusted Jesus, and I know that I'm broken. I'm separated from a holy God because of my sin, that none of us are righteous, not even one. But Jesus, he loved us so much that he stepped out from the glories of heaven, that he was obedient unto death, even the death of a cross, that he was placed in a borrowed tomb. But on that third day, he rose from the grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave. And he offers to us eternal life through belief and faith in him. See, the gospel, this man, he said, stretch forth your hand. The gospel says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. And I want to invite you, even in these moments, just to believe in the Lord Jesus. To say, you know what, I know I'm broken. I know that my life is withered. The things are there, and I can't fix it. Everything's out of control, but this morning is a morning of surrender, a time where you say, you know what, even though I'm broken, I know that there is a man. I know that Jesus can make me whole. I want to invite you, if that's you, just to, in these moments, just to just to enter in just to a time of reflection, just to a time of prayer. You might stretch forth your hand just in a sign of surrender. You know, we put our hands up. It says, you know what, I surrender. Might be that you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I surrender. Maybe you're a Christ follower and you say, you know what, I surrender. My life was out of control and I don't want to go back to normal of this culture, but I want to live my life the way Jesus intended it, normal as a Christ follower. I don't know what all that looks like, but I stretch out my hand and I say, you know what, it's broken. I'm in need of repair and restoration, and we're going to reset and move forward. Maybe that's you. I want to pray for you here in just a moment. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've never trusted Jesus. But this morning, I'm broken. I recognize that, and I'm like the man with the withered hand. I can't fix it, but I know it's broken, and I know there's one who can, and I believe that he lived that sinless life, that he died on the cross in my place, and that the only way to be restored is through relationship with him. The only way to be forgiven is to trust in him by faith and turn from my sin. And so I want to invite you to do that this morning. If you're here and you say, you know what, I've never trusted Jesus, Scripture says whoever would call upon the name of the Lord could be saved. There's nothing magic about the specific words of a prayer, but if we are willing to turn from our sin, if we're willing to say, you know what, I'm going the wrong direction, if we're willing to respond to the call of Christ, if he's speaking to your heart, then I want to invite you to call on his name, to ask him to forgive you of your sin, to trust him for salvation, and to be changed in this moment, to be forgiven and made new, useful, restored, and in relationship with the Father. Would you just bow your head and pray with me if that's where you're at this morning? Father, we come to you, Lord, and God, I pray for these that, God, that you might be speaking to this morning. And here in just a few moments, Lord, we just want to call on your name, Lord. And God, your word tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he's in charge, not us, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that we could be saved, that we could be healed, that we could be made new. Lord, in these moments, Father, we come to you, Lord, and I pray, God, that you will give people courage, God, to step out from the normal of this culture, the normal that is all around them, and to say, you know what, I want to live different. I want to be transformed by your grace. Nothing that I deserve. Scripture says that it's by grace through faith that we're saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nothing that I could earn, but something that's freely given through the cross of Christ. Jesus called out to the withered hand, man with a withered hand, he calls out. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. If that's you this morning, I want you to repeat. You can repeat this prayer, you can borrow my words, or you can pray from your own words. Again, it's more with the condition of our heart than the exact words of a prayer. But Lord Jesus, my life has been spinning out of control. Lord, I know that there's brokenness, things that I can't fix on my own. Lord, I desire to be part of your family. I believe that you came and lived a sinless life, Jesus, that you died on a cross in my place for my sin, that you rose again, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, that you offer eternal life through belief, through faith in Jesus, I believe. I pray that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would heal my brokenness, and that you would allow me to be useful in your kingdom through your Spirit inside of me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for restoring me and making me new. Now help me to live for you as you live through me. In Jesus' name. Man, maybe that's a decision that you've made this morning. We encourage you to let us know of that. To send us a message. You can comment on our Facebook. There's ways that you can just connect in through the worship guides. But if you have trusted Christ, we'd love to come alongside you and just talk about just next steps and what it looks like to follow Christ. And and encourage you just to continue on this journey as we look like what, as we look at what normal is for the life of a Jesus follower.